The title of this message this evening is as straightforward as the verses we've just read. Simply this: broad and narrow, many and few. In 1959, a whole new era of transport in the United Kingdom opened up. Something was opened, the first of many. I'm not quite old enough to remember it. Without being discourteous, some of you will. 1959, the M1 motorway opened for the very first time. And if you were around during those early years, it looks something like that. Oh, for roads that quiet. No speed limit, Ben. Mind you, most of the cars in 1959 weren't even capable of reaching 70 miles an hour, never mind exceeding it. Till the E-type Jag came along, of course, and that changed everything, but that's a different story. But that's the M1 in those early days. Today, of course, things aren't quite the same. Things have got a little bit different. Four lanes on that particular stretch of motorway instead of three. But some of you have been in that situation on the left-hand side. There are some stretches of motorway, of course, that are even wider than that. Five lanes, even six, I think, in some places where it's really busy. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it." We're going to use the motorway as an illustration, just to help our thinking. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate." Wide is the gate. Well, let's think about a few ways in which that gate might be wide. Now let's think about the motorway system that we're now all so familiar with in 2012. Well, one thing we can say about the motorway system is that there are many points of entry that can be found and used by all. Many points of entry. You can get on a motorway from pretty much anywhere. And there are very few restrictions. Those of you that know your highway code will be aware of some of the restrictions that there are. But pretty much most motor vehicles can get onto the motorway system and they can be used by all. The gate to the motorway is wide open. You can flood onto it from left, right and centre. They're well signposted. They've even made the signposts in that distinctive blue, so it's always clear when the motorway is around. If you're on an A road trying to find the motorway, you just need to follow the signs with those little blue symbols and you'll soon get there. The gate is wide. All point access. That's what Jesus says about this way that is wide and broad. We saw many types of vehicles. Now, on that very first picture from 1959, there was just some, what to us now, are very old, almost vintage cars. But on that second picture, there were vehicles of every shape and size. Vehicles for every possible purpose. Commercial, private, whatever it was. All able to access the network. All piling on. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way. And that's the way that Jesus is describing. You will find every shape and size and colour of person on this road. You will find every possible type of philosophy, every outlook of life, every kind of ambition, It's all there to be found on this road. It's wide and it's broad. There is ease of access. That's a big advantage. Some people have even found themselves on the motorway when they never intended to be on the motorway in the first place. There was an article a week or two ago about one poor chap who had been found 80 hours trying to navigate round the M25. Apparently he wasn't on the M25 for the whole 80 hours. But anxious relatives who were waiting for him to arrive for the Christmas festivities and contacted the police actually enabled the police to eventually track him down at a service station. And the confused old gentleman, who was in his 80s, was pointed in the right direction. There are confused people on this road. There are people who think they know where they're going, but actually they haven't a clue on this road. It's a road that is broad and wide, says Jesus. All of life may be found on this road. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way. Well, first of all, there's plenty of room for everyone. Well, apart from on bank holidays. But there's room for everyone. It's broad and wide. Room for everyone on this road. And that part that you see is the devil's lie. Come this way. Room for all. Come this way. Everyone accepted. Come this way. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you like, doesn't matter what you get up to, doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter how you want to live. Everyone this way. There's room for everyone. It's popular. People look around at this vast swathe of people that are all heading down this one road, and they look around and they say to themselves, all these people can't be wrong. That's what men say. They listen to the message of the gospel, and they look at the vast hordes of people travelling down the broad road. And the gospel message sounds out, and it's distinct, and it's very different to everything else that's happening on this road. Men and women say to themselves, all these people can't be wrong. Think about the motorway network. You can always make room for more. How many motorways have been widened? How many more will yet be widened? We were travelling on the motorway a few weeks back, and on some stretches of the motorway now, there are signs. In times of congestion, use the hard shoulder. We've made it wider for you now. You always make room for more on the broad road. What else do you see on motorways? You sometimes, when you're travelling along, you see a variety of signs which make it clear that that lane is for a particular purpose. It might be that that lane is for a certain destination. Get in this lane if you want to go there. But of course, you also find other restrictions. When there's roadworks on, you often have those yellow signs at the side of the road, and the writing's never that big on them, and you're frantically trying to read the thing as you're driving past at 70 miles an hour approaching the roadworks. Maybe you shouldn't drive at 70. Who's allowed in this lane? What did that say? Heavy goods vehicles must only be in this lane. The middle lane, well, anyone can use that one. The outside lane, only cars in this one. You can have exclusive lanes, even on a motorway. If you've ever driven north out of Birmingham on the M6, the outside lane on the M6 suddenly takes a life of its own. Because as it joins up with the toll road further down the road, the outside lane, you get a sign saying cars only, and the outside lane disappears up all on its own on a bridge. And the cars on the outside lane disappear out of sight, and then a mile or two down the road, they all join up with you again. Well, where have you been? You can have exclusive lanes, even on a motorway. Some of you know about the famous bus lanes that they introduced on the M4 to try and ease congestion for traffic entering into London. Let's put a bus lane on the motorway, someone said. And the inspired thing was they put it on the outside lane. Exclusive lanes. Now, the thing about this road that Jesus is talking about that is wide is that people have put exclusive lanes on it. But people lose sight of the fact that they are still part of the broad road. You're travelling down this broad road, and there's one of those big gantries going right across. And it's a much bigger gantry than any that you'll see on a motorway, because this is a broad road. And it stretches right across. And you're looking at it as you're approaching. And there's those signs saying this lane, and this lane, and this lane. And you look at your choices. What does that one say? Oh, that one says Islam. Oh, great. I'll go in the Islam lane. There's another lane. Atheist. There's another lane. Buddhist. There's another lane. Agnostic. There's another lane. Couldn't care less. There's another lane. And another lane. And there are some are blank, and you can put your own title up if you can think of one. And people on this broad road make their own exclusive lanes. But they forget one thing. They're all on the broad road. They may have given their lane a title, but it's all part of the same road. You can go for free, or you can choose to pay. Take your pick. Head down the M6 as you get close to Birmingham. Are you going to go the toll road, or are you going to go on the ordinary old motorway? There's always signs telling you that the toll road is not very congested. I'm not sure if there are ever signs saying that the ordinary motorway is never congested, but they're always telling you that the toll road is not congested. Why don't you try this alternative? Cost you a few pound, but you can go that way if you want to. Take a little detour. But it all joins up again the far side, of course. It's all still really part of the same road. But pay a little bit extra. Take a bit of a side route. Take a bit of a detour. Be a bit different. But it's all part of the same route. Go for free, choose to pay, take your pick. But it's all part of the same road. And what does Jesus say about this road? He says it leads to destruction. And there are many, many people on it. Apparently, there used to be a saying, all roads lead to Rome. Once upon a time, that was true. Not quite so much anymore. This road leads to one destination. It doesn't matter at which point you join. It doesn't matter whether you've chosen to go for free or whether you've chosen to pay. It doesn't matter which lane you've chosen to go in. It doesn't matter if you've chosen swapped lanes a couple of times. It doesn't matter if you're straddling two lanes. They all lead to the same place. destruction. In Luke's gospel, Jesus talks about wailing, gnashing of teeth. That's just a description of souls in torment. Leads to destruction. It's a wide gate. It's a broad road. There are many who are on it. And it only has one destination. But there's an alternative. There's an alternative. Jesus says there's a narrow gate, a difficult way. It leads to life. But there are few who find it. Well, let's just consider a few things. Let's consider a few things. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. One person at a time. That's how you get through this gate. Forget about the masses. Forget about what everyone else is doing. This is a gate which is designed for one person at a time. This is a gate which is designed with individuals in mind. This is a gate which is designed with people in mind. People just like you. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about a narrow gate that you must consider. It's designed for people. Compared to the motorway, it's described as being a difficult way. We'll consider just a few things in a moment as to why it might be difficult. But there aren't many on it. Compared to a motorway, it's a difficult way. We've all got a choice to make. I want to make sure this evening that there is not a single person in this room who is not clear about the choice. Well, let's consider what Jesus said. First thing he says is that the gate is narrow. The way in is narrow. Now, there always has been error in the Christian church. There's error in the Christian church today. And one of the errors that has been very evident in the church today, amongst evangelicals, is that Christian men and women, in their desire to get more people into churches, and that's a good desire, and in their desire to see more people made welcome in our seats and in our pews, and that's a good desire, what they've done is looked at how narrow the gate is, and they've decided, we know what we'll do. We'll make the gate wider. The gate's too narrow. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's why people aren't being saved. That's why people won't come into church. The gate's too narrow. So we'll make it wider. So what do they do? How do you widen the gate? Well, says someone, we'll put on an event. We'll call it evangelistic. But actually, it'll just be like any event that you could attend anywhere. And there'll be no gospel content in it whatsoever. But it'll get people in. Because we've made the gate wider. Churches decide that when they're preaching the gospel, they'll just preach a half-baked gospel that won't offend people, won't make them feel uncomfortable, won't put them off. We'll make sure that they'll definitely, definitely come back next week. So services are specifically designed to make unbelievers feel as comfortable as possible. And that has become the priority. The most important thing is that when unbelievers come in, they must feel as comfortable as possible. We'll make the gate wide. The problem is, worship has nothing to do whatsoever with unbelievers feeling comfortable. And there isn't a single verse in the Bible that possibly could be read to suggest that that's the case. Now, that's not to suggest that we're to go out of our way to make unbelievers feel uncomfortable. But making unbelievers feel comfortable in church has never been a priority. And it never will be. Because corporate worship is about the people of God gathering together to magnify and praise the Lord. And everything that tends towards that is to be our priority in worship. What unbelievers think of it is, in many ways, irrelevant. Now, some of you might be a bit shocked to hear me say that, but I believe that's the case. And I believe the Bible supports it. What unbelievers think about Christians at worship is, in many ways, irrelevant. For one thing, an unbeliever cannot worship God. I hope you understand that. An unbeliever can't worship God. They can be amongst us, but the Bible says that if you're going to worship God, you must do so in spirit and in truth. And only believers are in that position. Unbelievers are not. Now, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we shouldn't give any thought at all as to how we can use our services of worship to present gospel truth to unbelievers. I'm not suggesting for 1 moment that when an unbeliever walks in, we shouldn't greet them and welcome them and make them feel at home amongst us as best we can. But what we will not do is bring more people into the kingdom of God by widening a gate that Jesus says is narrow. He said it. The gate is narrow. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the point of entry, and only him. It's a gate that lets through one saved sinner at a time. It's a narrow gate. I want you also to see from that verse that it's a gate to be found. There are few who find it, but it is a gate to be found. Now, in some respects, people might think, and this is always a point of contention in Christian circles, well, surely this idea of someone having to find the gate, that puts us at odds with the doctrines of grace. That puts us at odds with God's sovereignty in election, which we hold and preach. That puts us at odds with the doctrine of irresistible grace, that it's only God's call upon someone, bringing them into salvation. And yet, Jesus speaks of a gate which must be found. Surely these two things contradict each other. Which is it? Is it the unbeliever looking for the gate and finding it? Or is it God's sovereignty and election? And is there irresistible grace? Well, actually, it's both. Now, this is a big subject for another occasion, perhaps. But let me just put it to you like this. My finding the gate is not the means by which I am saved. My salvation does not depend upon me finding the gate. I find the gate because I have been saved. I find the gate because I'm under God's grace. It's because he has done a sovereign and saving work in my life that the gate may be found. I do not find the gate that I might be saved. I am saved that I might be led to the gate. That's the teaching of the Bible. I mean, perhaps I need to go into that again in some more detail some other time. But the gate does have to be found. But there are few who find it. I wonder if you have notions of great swathes of society all becoming saved and flooding into our churches. Well, your thinking is completely at odds with the teaching of Christ. He says, few will find it compared to the many who are on the broad road. You might say, well, hang on, Ian. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. One day. Well, yes, of course they were. But do remember, on that day, that feast day in Jerusalem, when the town was bursting at the seams, there were hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem that day. Perhaps even in their millions. 3,000 out of hundreds of thousands is not a great swathe of society. And of course, there's no other day when those kinds of numbers on a single day are recorded as coming to faith in Christ. Many are called, few are chosen. And this gate leads to a difficult way. It's a difficult way. Now, motorways are designed to try and make things easy. They're designed to try and make things as easy as possible. But Christ's invitation is to find the narrow gate. And as a church, we're to make sure that the gate stays narrow. That leads to a difficult way. It's a PR man's nightmare, isn't it? A narrow gate that leads to a difficult way. Who wants that? When you could have a wide gate that leads to a broad way that's easy. Well, Jesus describes it as being a difficult way. And it's difficult because the path stays narrow. The gate's narrow and the path stays narrow. In what ways is the path narrow? The path is narrow because it's distinct. It's finely hedged in by certain truths. On the Broadway, you can do whatever you want almost. You can make things up as you go along. You can invent new lanes to walk in. We don't like this bit. It's a bit congested here. Let's build another lane. Off we go. Great stuff. The narrow path isn't like that. It's clearly defined. It's very distinct. The Lord Jesus himself prescribes its boundaries, explains the way it will lead. It's a different way to the world completely. In fact, this narrow path runs right up the middle in the opposite direction of the road that is broad and wide. And the traffic of the world is rushing headlong either side of you. It's like being in your own little contraflow, right in the middle. And that's what the Christian life is. It's a contraflow. I know some people, when they go into those contraflows, especially the ones that cross over the central reservation of the motorway, and you go onto the other side, and all the other traffic is running towards you headlong, and all that's separating you is that little row of cones. And some people really don't like going there because they feel so vulnerable. Because they really feel that they're going against the grain. We're going against the flow, and that is the Christian life. It's a difficult way. It's a narrow path. It's clearly defined. It needs careful navigation. It's easy to stray to one side or to the other. But this is the life that Christ calls believers to. And he uses these pictures to bring to our attention the stark contrast. But this narrow path leads to life. It leads to life. Jesus, as he's drawing towards the end of his sermon, he's explained the characteristics of a Christian believer in the Beatitudes. He's gone through all kinds of different pictures and illustrations. If you're a Christian, you'll be like this. If you're a Christian, you'll behave like that. In these kinds of situations, you won't react like this anymore. You'll react like that instead. All these kinds of different things. And he's bringing things to a conclusion now in his sermon. And he says, listen, all these things we've been talking about, this is what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like you've entered through this tiny little narrow gate. And you're walking up this little narrow path. And I'm not calling you to a life of ease. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It'll be rough at times. It'll be steep at times. But it's clearly defined. You'll find your way. It needs careful navigation. You need to watch your step. Be careful where you put your feet. Keep to the path. Keep to the path. But oh, the life that is waiting. And what a life to walk as well. What a life to walk along this path. Path that leads to life. The Lord Jesus presents us with these two options. Broad road and narrow path. Many and few. Two roads to choose from. On which road are you?